I just want to encourage everyone as we prayed for President Trump to continue to pray over him for the next few days. Well, I mean, we should be praying for him all the time, but really zone in. And a lot of times the enemy will try to come and he'll bring these thoughts of, I'm just one person. What does one person's prayer make a difference? Well, when I read my Old Testament, one person's prayer changed a nation. So if we're all praying and all agreeing together, even we would be praying at different times possibly, but if we know that we're praying as a body, then two or more, right, agree upon anything they ask for, and it's done for them by their Father in heaven. And we can stop the enemy before he even gets there. Amen? We can be praying and interceding, and the traps of the enemy are sprung in advance. Amen? Eyes are open to see things that they wouldn't necessarily see. Or people that are in their midst of going, I've heard this story before of people that were on their way to do harm to someone, and something literally stopped them, physically stopped them from being able to move forward. To the point that they had to go to that person later and say, what in the world is going on in your life? Because I was coming after you and something stopped me and I couldn't get to you. I want to know what that thing is. And testimonies were able to be given about, well, I was actually praying at that moment and it was probably an angel of the Lord that came and stopped you. And that person gave their life to the Lord. Because that's the bottom line. The people that do the bad things that they do, they need Jesus. They are not the enemy. The enemy is the source behind them. Amen? Amen? So we have to make sure we're very clear. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're wrestling with principalities and powers. And so when we pray, we can pray with full authority. I was reading in Genesis, and it says he gave us authority over all things. And I know he was talking about the animals, but that phrase jumped out at me, all things. I was like, we have authority. Amen? Anybody scared of spiders or snakes or other awful little things? Guess what? You have authority over all things. But you know what? That goes even beyond that. We have authority because of what Jesus did on the cross. We have authority over symptoms. We have authority over sickness. We have authority over the plans of the enemy. We have authority to be able to speak and things change. I don't know about you, but that's exciting for me. Amen? We don't have to feel helpless or hopeless. We've got tools. The Word of God is our tool to be able to speak and to see things change. That wasn't today's, but that's just a little extra for you. As you're praying and agreeing, remind yourself, the prophets of old, they were generally one at a time. Or if they weren't together, they were spread out and they were one in the midst of that whole area. And they changed the nations. They stood in the gap. As far as I know, Moses went up to the mountain by himself and ask the Lord to save the nation. Don't harm my nation. Remember who they are. Remember who you are, God. Don't wipe them out, right? One man, your prayers make a difference. Amen? Amen. Too long we've been lied to. Okay, back to our tithes and offerings. We are on part three, and I could not get away from this morning. So I had the rest of the verse to share with you about, but we're going to look at the very first word, behold. And all morning long, this has just resonated. When I'm doing tithes and offerings, I always think about it, like from the moment I go to bed and the moment I wake up, I'm thinking about, Lord, how do you want to go? What do you want to do with this? How are we going to, you know, some examples. And it's like this rolls around in my head. And I kept trying to push him to the last part of the verse. I'm like, that's part three. That's part three. And he said, behold, 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 behold. And I was like, behold what? And he's like, exactly, behold. And so I was thinking about, this is not a word that we normally walk up to each other and go, behold, I have something for you. But that was a very common word back in the day. In fact, I was remembering when I was a kid, and we went to the circus when it was in town at the big Coliseum downtown. And the what's the main guy? What's he called again? The top hat? Ringmaster, yes. Okay, so I remember everything was dark, and they just had, like, the light on him, and he walked out, and he goes, behold, like that. And then all these lights came on, and there were people doing crazy stuff up on top and down below. But you couldn't see it until he said what? Behold, right? And when I looked this word up, guess what it means? Something's about to happen. And he's grabbing your attention with this word. Behold. So you may be looking at it, maybe like one little light, and you're like, God, what in the world is going on here? What could you possibly be doing in this? Guess what he's saying to you this morning? Behold. And all of a sudden, everything is lit up. And you're like, oh, that's what you were doing. Oh, okay, I see now. Because we see in part, he sees in what? Whole. So that's where the trust factor comes in. Amen? But he is saying today, behold what? What are we about to behold? Say it with me. A new thing. A new thing. Behold, he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to tell us, this isn't days from now, this isn't weeks from now, this isn't months from now, this is today. Behold, I am doing a new thing. What does that tell us? That tells us we got to wake up. Sometimes when you keep going and going and going with something, living with something the same way all the time, you kind of get in a rut, right? We kind of get up and we're expecting that thing to be that way. Why? Because it's always been that way. You know what the Lord is saying today? Behold, I am doing a new thing. Why does he have to say behold? Because most of the time we're like this. We're just walking through our day, doing our thing, and he might even be talking to us, but we're not listening because we're on a mission to do God's will. We're on a mission to do God's word, right? So he's saying to us today, behold, hey, pay attention, wake up, look at me up here, look at me. I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Why does he have to say, do we not perceive it? Because we're not perceiving it yet, right? It hasn't enlightened us yet. But this morning, we are going to be enlightened, amen? Because we are going to wake up from our mundane, everyday, things not changing, everything being the same. We're going to wake up because he is calling out to us and he is saying, behold, here it comes, boom. And it's going to light everything up in our lives. And we're going to go, wow, wow, God. Wow, what have you been up to? This is amazing. So many times when we pray, and I've shared this in the past, I've had relatives that have prayed for something and believed for something and prayed for something and believed for something, and then get to a point and they're just like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And in my heart, I'd be like, no. You got to keep going. You got to keep standing strong. And they finish before they reach the finish line. And then you'll find out, like, well, for this one circumstance, it was like less than a week later that the other party that my aunt had been praying for was ready to turn around, but she had, I'm done, and walked away. And I believe she missed out on what God was about to do because she gave up. We never give up. If God gave you a word, you put your feet in the ground, like you do in a kid when you're at the beach in the sand, and you do like this, and then your feet just sink in till you can't move. Well, that's what you do with the word of God. You buckle down and you stay in there until it happens as God planned. Amen? It doesn't matter the wind and the waves. It doesn't matter the things around you. You stand firm in what you are believing in. You have a promise. You hold on to that promise. You don't let go until it comes to pass. I would rather go to heaven holding on to the promises of God and experiencing all God has for me than going to heaven and him going, do you see this right here? You were so close. You were so close. Because see, we're not the only ones involved. There are other people that are involved. So when God is doing something, it's not just us. Sometimes he has to get this situation and this situation to turn around and flip and move this here and move that. There are things that are going on behind the scenes that we don't even know. But today he is saying, behold, it's coming. Amen? Are you ready for your miracle? I know I am. I'm ready for my breakthrough. And I don't want to miss what God is going to do in 2025. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be one of those that just keeps going and going and going and doing the same old, same old, same. No, I want, when he says, behold, I want to go, I'm listening, I'm listening. Where is it? I'm looking, Lord, where is it? Amen? So that's what you get this week. You get a behold. But I pray over each one of you that as you leave this place, you're going to keep hearing that in your spirit. Behold, 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 so that you're awake and alert to be watching. And then when it comes, what's it going to do? It's going to spring forth. Amen? I'm happy to share no one sprang forth on me this week. Just was a peaceful week at home. But God is going to spring forth in your life, and he is going to amaze you with the things that he's about ready to do. Amen? Woo! Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Behold, Father, we are so grateful for one word from you. Literally, one word from you. That can change our lives. And God, we don't want to be stuck in the patterns of this world. We don't want to get stuck in doubt. We don't want to get stuck in weariness. We don't want to get stuck, Father, with the traditions of men. We want to hold firm to the word of God, and we want to see the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the promises fulfilled in our lives, God. And I praise you, Lord, for every person that has been sowing and tithing and giving for years. And you may not have seen anything substantial happen yet. God is saying to you today, behold, I am doing a new thing in your finances. And Father, we will pray, we will give you all the glory and all the praise, Father. And we will share that with others, Lord. We will share the good news of what you have done, helping them to behold what you're doing in their lives. We pray, Father, over every person in this room, over every person's income in this room. I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You will not kill, steal, or destroy anyone. One's finances in 2025, off limits in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for the jobs, the promotions, the raises, the bonuses, the supernatural wealth transfer, Father, inheritance, money that's been tied up in the courts, Father, money that's been forgotten. It is coming forth in 2025. In Jesus' name, Father, and we just praise you and thank you. We will be tithers and givers, Father. We will give to every good work. We will be faithful stewards of the money that you place in our hands. Because, God, we know that you bring a wealth that has no sorrow with it, no worrying, no stressing, just peace. And that's what I pray over everyone's finances, Father, peace and prosperity in 2025. And we give you all the praise and all the glory today. Bless every seed that is sown and bless the sower. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen.
Amen. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this word that you have for us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for it. We receive it with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're beginning a new series today. I bet you'll never guess how many weeks will be. God's big. Actually, it'd be 11 because I found another one. No, just kidding. Because this is the because this is the kind of the setup message for the rest of them. Hallelujah. But God's big 10. Amen. The Lord started moving on me. I think I was listening to Flashpoint, a great broadcast to be watching. You know, I am allergic to the news. I don't watch it. Even the last time I watched the local news, even, it just looked like there was an entertainment quality to it, almost like The Inquirer or something. Am I a little hot, Lane, here? I mean, Shelly knows I'm hot, but not talking about, am I, somebody say, Pastor Steve, calm down. Calm down. Thank you. That better? Okay. Thank you. All right. Thanks, Lane. Amen. But the news, you're hiding from things, but a lot of the stuff is just so quirky out there, and there's an entertainment quality to it that's just, I find it repulsive. Unless it's going to snow, then I'll be watching the news, right? I want to know then, right? But for the most part, I just have no desire to turn on the news. unless it's like Flashpoint or Victory News, because then you're going to get the faith element. Now, there's still stuff they'll tell you about. It's not like, don't tell me anything bad, don't tell me anything. No, there's bad stuff going on right outside those doors, right? But, you know, it's like we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, on his plan, not give in to fear, and there's a spin that they put on it. Even now, even though a lot of them are waking up and realizing, hey, we're going to go out of business if we don't get back to being... Now, journalism is a gift. There's a mountain in societal influence called the mountain of media. And there's guys like Tucker Carlson and others that are actually doing the work of a journalist. Amen. So, you know, in these times of seeking God and in the current events that we're in, we have to be real watchful what we have playing in our phones or on the television, or, you know what I'm saying? We just have to be on guard. Somebody say, on guard. Batten down the hatches. I noticed in that message on Vision Day, I kept saying hatchets. Because when I was a kid, it was batten down the hatchets. Sounded like pirates or something, you know? Batten down the... Everybody grab a hatchet. But I believe God knew what people got the message, what that means, right? But we have to be really, really watchful about what we're watching and listening to, because it gets in you. Right? Amen. And when we're talking about the Word of God, I'm not really sure where that ties into this message, but I guess it's a commercial for Flashpoint, because there's big news this week. I mean, world news, historic proportion news. When you think about what that man went through for the past 8 years, forget four, right? And that he's back. It's miraculous. And there's been prophetic words that he has two terms, and people criticized it when the election did what it did last time. They all, false prophet. No, apparently not. He didn't necessarily say back to back, right? But this nation's getting back on course, right? And when we all have our part to do, praying and fasting and just staying engaged. But don't be an ostrich and bury our head in the sand. We need to know what's going on out there. Flashpoint is a great news source. CBN is a great news source. Andrew Womack's got a network now where he does things, and we just have to be on guard. Amen. Rick Green, great minister out there that tells, you know, the truth about our country. Andrew Barton, his stuff is awesome, right? But I guess where this connects here is we're coming back to this thing called the foundation. Right? And there's a reason why the devil, I didn't say Democrats, and even some Republicans apparently, but the devil doesn't want God's Big Ten posted anywhere. And now, praise God, there's school districts that are saying, yeah, we're putting it back in the schools. It's on the Supreme Court's wall, right? Why is that? Because God's Ten Commandments are the foundation. They are the foundation of law and order, right? So if he can pull out the Ten Commandments and make it sound evil and wrong and racist or whatever crazy psycho things the devil tries to throw at it, that's how he starts with tearing down the foundation. Amen. So we're going to preach these things and teach these things. But the foundation text for us today will be Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. In your notes there, this is Jesus speaking. Or a portion of it. It's all the Word of God, right? But it says this, then one of them, a lawyer, somebody say, a lawyer. There's some good lawyers out there. There's some not so good lawyers out there too, right? But there's some good ones. That's another thing. Lawyers need to really get back to being about law. Law and order, not special interest groups and where the money flows and all of that. Justice. God hates unjust scales. He is the judge. Right? And Jesus is our defense attorney, and the devil is prosecuting us. Carmen's got a great music video called The Courtroom. Check it out, right? Amen? A lawyer asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Trying to trap him, right? Jesus said to him, you shall love. Somebody say, you shall love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first. Somebody say the first. And great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor. Somebody say your neighbor. As yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Somebody say it's a love thing. It's a love thing. And if you'll notice the order, it wasn't by accident that he did that order. I mean, this, he's speaking from, I think, Deuteronomy or somewhere. It, God says the same thing, right? But first, somebody say, love God first. Then you can love people effectively. It doesn't say love people and then you'll love God effectively. That's where some of the church has gotten mixed up and messed up. That's when culture begins to take the place of Christ because we don't want to offend anyone. So we just embrace everything. And it can cause shipwreck and people literally to miss heaven if the, you know, the pulpit is preaching culture before Christ, right? But if we love God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, then we'll be able to effectively love people. And open your Bible to Exodus chapter 20, because that's where one place where the Ten Commandments are listed, you know, and this is the children of Israel coming out of 200 years of slavery. And they're going to begin a new nation, right? And so they've been living in the Egyptian culture and customs and gods and all this crazy stuff. And God says, this is going to be the foundation for your civilization, for your nation. Amen. So it says God spoke all these words saying, somebody say all these words. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Praise his name forevermore. His heart is not for people to be enslaved to anyone or anything. Somebody say he's a God of freedom. Hallelujah. But freedom does not mean there are no boundaries. Well, if he's a God of freedom, why do we got commandments? When an architect or a builder goes out to build a house, they have to have this thing called a blueprint, right? And there's ways to build a house for it to last and be safe. Foundation, electrical, plumbing, all the things that go into construction, right? And so freedom in Christ, freedom in God doesn't mean there are no rules. Freedom in Christ doesn't mean you're free from rules and laws, spiritual laws. I remember Pastor Huck would say back when we served with them back in the 90s through the 2002 or 3, and he would say to the people, he'd go, how many of you know that if you come to the edge of a cliff, if you fall or jump, the effects are the same? Right? So whether it's intentional or a miss, we want to avoid disaster in our lives. Amen? And this is the highway to heaven right here. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, if you ever make a mistake, you're going to hell, right? But this is the highway, God's way of having a blessed life. Amen? And it says this, the first thing, he says, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, a lot of things we got to ask ourselves when someone's telling us something is this reasonable? How many know when I married Shelley, I had to make a promise, a covenant, no other women. You are the woman. Is that reasonable in a marriage, right? That's reasonable. Right. Now, that doesn't mean Steve never notices someone's attractive or this or that, or occasionally I've had someone flirt with me or whatever. Same with Shelly. Someone trying to reach out on social media, or you see something, it's like, wow, that's... But you know what? You bring yourself back to the covenant, right? I made a promise. I made a covenant with this woman. This woman is where the blessing is. Hallelujah. And it's the same way, even in a bigger way, with God, right? We don't mess around with other gods. Well, he can be God, but you know, it's okay to have a list of gods. That's big in our culture right now. Even in church, in some churches, right? It's like Hinduism. Whatever feels good, do it. You can have, it's like your little black book for gods, right? Who do I need right now? Do I need Buddha? Do I need Krishna? Do I need Jesus? Do I need a Muhammad? Do I need weed? No, somebody say one God. One God. Hallelujah. Next one. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water on the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Right? So we don't make statues and pray to a statue. Kiss the statue. Right? Burn candles to the statue. No. Why? Because that's a fake, artificial God. That statue isn't going to save anyone. I remember a story where the Ark of the Covenant got, we might look at some of these stories in more depth as we go, as the Lord leads, but one story was when the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant and took it and put it in the house of their god Dagon. And they came in the next day, and Dagon was on, the statue had fallen down, and his feet and hands were cut off. And the Philistines were like, uh-oh, send it back, send it back, send it back. And you know what I'm saying? We don't need statues. Now, it doesn't mean if you have a statue on your property that statues are evil. I've had people insinuate that a Christmas tree is idolatry. Well, it could be if you bow down and worship it. Right? Or if you go to a theme park and there's Walt Disney holding Mickey Mouse's hand and, oh, I paint. No. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about building something, carving something, and making it an item of worship. Amen. Is that unreasonable for God to ask? This is for our safety and our spiritual well-being, right? It says this, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. How many know we should never use Jesus Christ as a cuss word? Right? Or oh my God. That kind of, I mean, we gotta watch that kind of stuff. Right? But it also can mean, and we're gonna come back and go through each one of these in some more depth, but it also can just mean taking his name, but it doesn't mean anything to you. Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Yeah, but you know, I don't go to church. I don't serve him. Yeah, that's taking his name in vain then. It means nothing to you. How many know it should mean something to you? How many know it should mean something? We're getting back to this in a lot of our country. It should mean something to be an American. It should mean something to be a citizen of this country. It should mean something to vote. Well, how much more to be a Christian, to have the name of Christ on your head? I mean, there's scriptures in Revelation that talk about his name on your head. I've been listening to this awesome message that Lindsay got me for Christmas. It's, I think it was from the 90s, and it's Kenneth Copeland and Hilton Sutton. And Hilton was probably almost 80 years old back in the 90s. And he's teaching on end times. And he was going through, and I didn't know this. He said, you know what? A lot of the church doesn't believe in a rapture where the body of Christ gets taken up to heaven. He goes, actually, in the Bible, there are 7 raptures. 7. Anytime I hear 7, 8, 7 is the number of completion. He said the first 3 have already happened. Enoch, he was and was not. God took him home. Elijah was and was not. God sent the chariot. Jesus, up on the mountain, ascended to be with the Father. The next one is us, the church. But then he starts teaching through the tribulation period. And he says, in the middle of the tribulation period, there's going to be a lot of people getting saved. He says, the devil wants you to think he's going to control the entire planet. But you see, how many know God doesn't have control of people's willpower? There's this thing called free choice. Right? People have to choose Jesus. Well, then there's going to be people that just, nah, I don't want anything to do with you, Antichrist. You're weird, man. You're weird. And there'll be preaching going on, people getting saved on the planet. And at the 3.5 year point, there will be another rapture where those people will go. And then there'll be 144,000 witnesses. The Bible clearly talks about they're Jewish men, single men, don't have families or anything. They're just about preaching the gospel. And they will be raptured later on. I mean, this is amazing things to think about, right? And what we're talking about is God being a God who has rules and laws. And if we follow his laws and get excited about it and be interested in what he's got to say, then we will be ready. Somebody say, be ready. And I just don't believe the church, myself included, I don't know if I've ever done a series on the Ten Commandments. Right? So these are just things to be aware of. Amen. In verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. I refuse to, now the Lord can correct me on this if he wants to, but I refuse to be a church that tries to cater to the world just to get a few more people in the building. I'd rather have you guys that are serious and committed and present and interested in serving the Lord than try to create 72 more services at random times of the day to fit everybody's schedule out there. How many know church is Sunday morning? Church, the first part of the first day of the week. Somebody say, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Now I know in Jewish, you know, law and all, in these times it was Friday night to Saturday night. But Jesus rose again on the first day of the week and sanctified the first day, right? Sunday is when we have church, Sunday morning. And I don't know about you, but I will be at my post. I do know about you, actually. Forgive me. I know about you. We're cut from the same cloth, right? So there's a lot of Christians out there dishonoring the Sabbath day. Well, I'll watch it online. Well, I'll do this. Well, I'm going to be out worshiping God in the lake. Well, I can make 10,000 more a year if I just skip church. And then there's other churches out there wearing themselves out to reach whiny-mouthed, snotty-nosed Christians. Not me. All right, off the soapbox, right? Verse 12 says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Honor. Somebody say honor. Don't be disrespectful to your parents. Don't talk. Even if they've hurt you, even if they did stupid things, forgive. Doesn't mean you have to be bosom buddies, but do not dishonor them. And this also would tie into anybody who's really an authority. Right? Teachers, coaches, pastors, ministers. Don't get into blasting people. And in our social media is famous for this. Use everything we got to build people up, or at least don't talk about it at all. Right? Why? So my days will be long on the earth, right? Amen. Now, it's interesting to think that the first commandments we saw there are really in relation directly to God. These next ones are in relations to people, right? But really, ultimately, obviously, all of it is respect to the Lord, right? You shall not murder. I drove by right down here in Vancouver. There's a billboard for Planned Parenthood, and it doesn't say Planned Parenthood anywhere except in tiny little letters. Now, how many know that's an oxymoron, Planned Parenthood, murdering children, right? And it's just this glowing sign that says, after hours, like a bar. You can get an abortion now on the weekends and evenings. I had a friend of mine that was in the Marines years ago, and he came to me and asked for prayer because he was getting sent to Afghanistan or somewhere. And he said, Steve, Pastor Steve, back then, he said, I may have to kill somebody. Tell me about how the commandments play. I said, sir, that's war. This scripture says murder. If you're in a war situation and there's bad guys, God be with you. God be with you, right? But abortion and just straight up murder, God says don't do it, right? Amen. And that would include just carrying around offense and hatred toward people. That's the seed of murder. Hate is the seed of murder. Amen, right? The next one, you shall not commit adultery. Sexual purity is highly important. Now, I don't think we'd have to argue about that. Sexual purity, and I'm not saying sexual abstinence is, I'm not, what's the Catholic celibacy or whatever they do? That ain't cool, man. I wasn't called to be a Catholic priest, I'll tell you that for sure, right? But in the marriage between a man and a woman is the God plan. There's no disease in that. There's no sickness in that. There's no unfaithfulness in that. There's no perversion in that. There's no death in it. It's the blessing of God. And God didn't bring Adam four women or give Eve three or four husbands, right? Somebody say one-to-one. All of this, you know, things that people got into in the history of the word even, the having multiple wives, that wasn't God's best. That wasn't God's original plan. Cultural things, again, having influence was not cool. That's why in Timothy takes time to say, if you want to be a leader in the body of Christ, you need to be the husband of one wife. That was not a jam against divorce. Right? Well, I had a divorce. Now, some would say, well, now I don't qualify to serve. That's a lie from hell. No, just one, married to one person. Right? Now, I really do believe in the body of Christ that marriage is being taken in many cases way too casually. Way too casual. Well, we got a divorce because we don't believe the same. Hogwash. Hogwash. He's just not as spiritual as I am. Really? She's just this or that. She makes me mad. And they're Christian people. This ought not be. Right? But this adultery thing is a serious... God doesn't play this kind of stuff. We got to keep ourselves clean from the... And the pressure of this is 24/7. The devil knows. That's why he puts it on billboards. He puts it on television. Some people out there seem to be advertising their body, walking around. And it's like, go ahead and look. She's inviting it. No. No, somebody say, don't look, just look away. Flee from that stuff. Amen. And for women, it's a lot more of an emotional thing where, oh, my husband isn't giving me the attention I need, and this person's reaching out to me, and they're asking me how I feel. And I had to deal with some of this even in ministry in years past. One time we were on a missions trip. Doing ministry. And there were these younger folks than I was. He had a wife that wasn't there, and she's a hot. It's okay to say hot, right? She's attractive. Love Jesus. Very attractive woman. And she's straight up flirting with him, putting the vibe out there. And he's just taking it in. Finally, one night, we're all, you know, staying in a church building together, and they're off talking by themselves together. I couldn't take it anymore. I walked over there, and I looked right at him. Brother, what are you doing? she just left at that moment. He's like, what? What are you talking about? I was like, you think I'm stupid? You think I'm stupid? You're a married man. Go to bed. That was it. The next day, she comes to find me, crying. You don't understand. It's about his manhood. I'm like, if you want to have a meeting, then we'll all do it together with the other pastors. I'm not talking to you one-to-one. But since when is another woman's husband's manhood any of your business? But I mean, this kind of stuff just goes on. And we have to be on guard against these things, right? In love, of course. Glory to God. Amen. The next one, you shall not steal. Amen. I mean, these are not unreasonable. So many people try to make the Ten Commandments sound like they're so hard. No. Just simply don't steal. I was doing a job the other day around a mall. We do the, you know, business service around the outside of the mall. And I'm walking around and I'm seeing things in bushes of people just took like a $100 vial of perfume, spritzed themselves and chucked it. Just people stealing stuff. Right? No, it's not right. So don't steal. Don't take things that aren't yours. Amen. And the Lord helps us with these things. Amen. Even in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. The next one, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Somebody say, be truthful, be honest. Don't lie. The devil is the father of all lies. And how many know if we lie enough, we'll start believing our own lie? That's where a lot of people in leadership nowadays, they've told the lie so much that it's reality to them. Trying to, again, Mr. Trump is a great example of somebody that they just kept shooting at, and literally somebody took a shot at him, right? Evil stuff. Christians can't be doing that. We can't be people that are into gossip, slander. Hallelujah. Build somebody up. I remember Robinson, minister. It'll come. James Robinson, yeah. He was at a gathering of a bunch of ministers, and somebody came up to him and started bad-mouthing Kenneth Copeland. And he said, hey, everybody, brother so-and-so here has brother Copeland on his heart. He wants to pray for him. Let's all agree. Right? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And then finally, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, his female servant, his ox or his donkey or anything. How many know coveting is not a good thing? Coveting means, it doesn't mean God doesn't want you to have that. It means I want what they got because I deserve it and they do not deserve it. Right? These are, again, are these unreasonable things? And we know from the Word of God on this side of the cross, we understand that getting all these things right is not what qualifies you to go to heaven. But it certainly would qualify that this is the kind of things Christians should keep. It's not an unreasonable list of things. And God made it real simple. And it's also the foundation for law and order. That's why we have criminals on the streets and righteous people in jail in some cases. Because people, even prosecuting attorneys and mayors and legislatures and people, they've gotten so out of whack. Why? Because they don't know this. They've forgotten it or they think it's evil. And now evil is good and good is, you know what I'm saying? It's just all topsy-turvy. So in the body of Christ, we need to have it down. We should be able to name the Ten Commandments. He was like, I bet there's a lot of Christians that don't even know the Ten Commandments, what they are, or where to find them. Somebody say, not me. Not me. Hallelujah. Well, Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20. Let's talk about Jesus and the commandments, because a lot of people would argue Hey, that's the law. That's the Old Testament. Jesus has set us free from the... Oh, man, there's Christians that'll argue with you. I'm living with this woman because I've been set free by Jesus. No. You're being stupid. Stupid. No, you haven't been set free from that. Like the Christian that gets pulled over doing 90 and a 35. No, officer, I'm a Christian. I've been set free from the speed limit. No, you're on your way to jail, man. Right? Law and order. Somebody say order. We got to keep ourselves. It's a self-keeping. Right? Hallelujah. Here we go. Jesus says this. Let's ask him himself, right? He said this. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus is much more after the heart issue behind it all. All these things come out of the heart. So if we can fix the heart, your life will follow. Hallelujah, right? For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till it is all fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments. Oh, and here's the next part. This next part, I tell you, is huge right now, right? Then too, but especially right now. Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so. There's people teaching children so. Evil stuff, man. They're going to pay for that. So he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, old Pastor Steve, I keep the word, but man, I just don't want to offend anybody else and just push my belief system. No, push it, brother, sister. Hollywood's pushing. The devil's pushing. It's okay to be out front with how you believe. Be vocal about it. Right? Be obvious. Be purposeful with intent. Hallelujah. Teach others to do so. They shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees were religious leaders in those days that presented themselves like they were the spiritual authority, the law, and just everybody else is under them. They have all the degrees and the approval of men, and they're working for the government and all these things, and you better just shut up and do what we say because we're holier than you. Jesus said that is bunk. You have to be more righteous than them. They're a bunch of hypocrites. So you see, Jesus did not say, forget those commandments. No, he said he is the fulfillment of them. But that doesn't mean Steve can just forget about that, don't lie one. You know, it doesn't matter. Jesus covered that. I'm on the Jesus credit card. No. Him being the fulfillment of it means now I have the power to do it, to execute. To crucify my flesh. Hallelujah, right? And then finally, we'll close with Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. And it says this. Then the scribes and the Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition? Somebody say tradition. Somebody say truth over tradition. Of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment? See, he's like, you're getting on these people for transgressing your tradition, but you're transgressing the commandment, right? Of God because of your tradition. So people can get into transgressing the commandment because of their traditions. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is the gift of God, then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Again, Pastor Huck, in years gone by when I was with their ministry, he would say this. How many know there's nothing more powerful than the word of God? Everybody go, amen. He's like, no, it's not true. Your traditions will nullify the power of God's word in your life if you allow it. Somebody say truth over tradition. Hallelujah. Then he says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, some people would say Jesus was passive. Oh, no, no, you don't crucify someone who is passive. He's hitting right to the mark. Right? These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Hallelujah. So as Christians, we need to be able to distinguish the difference between truth and tradition. Hallelujah. We hear a lot of this broadcasted even from ministry circles sometimes of, let's take the word love. Jesus is all about love. Therefore, put the rainbow on your logo and just welcome in and get ministers on your staff that are married, men that are married to men. And you know, it's just traditions of men, really doctrines of devils in some situations that transgress the literal commandment of God. It's a serious issue. Hallelujah. And so what do? We come back to the foundation. Let's examine the foundation. In pest control, we have jobs where we start with an inspection, and a lot of the time, on the first visit, we want to look under the house. There's a smell. The other day, there were people that I did a service for that had a smell, and they said, the furnace guy was here, and he said there were snakes in the furnace, but he wouldn't take them out. He doesn't do that. So we still have a smell. So they sent me out there to crawl under the house. And I said, did he give you any pictures of where? No, he just said they were in the furnace. Well, I'm not going to be taking your furnace apart, but so they got him, and they eventually found out which little ductwork had to be disconnected, and there they were. We opened up part of the box, and they were dead, but there were the Gartner snake about that long and one that was all mummified. Had to pull the snakes out from under the house. I grabbed them and put them in a bag and did a sanitizing thing inside and took them out there and said, here they are. And he opened the bag and he goes, oh yeah, that's the smell. That's the smell. Somebody say, you have to get under the house. Hallelujah. And the God's commandments are the foundation of everything. If we just start building our life with no foundation, it's going to crash down, man. But not us. Somebody say, not us. We're people of God's word. We prefer truth over tradition. Truth over tricks. And it comes back really to that first verse too. We love God first. Well, you're offending me. No, I just love God more than I love you. But you ought to take that as me loving you, because I'm telling you the truth. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up and we'll pray and just thank the Lord for his word to us today. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all just lift our hands to the Lord and just say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your commandments that are for my protection and my direction and my edification. We receive your word, Lord. And thank you that you sent Jesus to be the fulfillment of the heart issue behind each one of them. We receive your correction, your direction, and your protection in every area of our life. And we commit, Lord, to being people of your truth and to walk in it daily and hourly, minute by minute. We reject the lies of the devil that come at us continually through media, through thoughts, memories. I remember I was learning about Joseph in Egypt. Jacob's second youngest son, Joseph. And he had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Ephraim, his name means forgetfulness. And Manasseh means fruitfulness, I believe is how that went. And the point was, he named the one son forgetfulness because God made me to forget the toil and the issues that I had in my life. And now, because I've forgotten that, I am fruitful in every area of my life. So somebody just say, we forget. We forget the devil's tricks. We forget the past failures in areas of our life where we've struggled. We forget that in God. It's covered by the blood in Jesus' name. That's one of the tools that the devil will use, is to remind you of your past and your failures and to make you think you somehow don't qualify because of that. But we take that word and we say, we forget. It is washed from us. And we will be fruitful in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.